Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild pervitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. And if this slow damn computer will catch up with itself, I might actually get something done. But anyway, I'm trying to cue up a couple audio clips here, but this computer, you know, I took it into a guy that's, you know, a computer repair place. And you know, these people are supposed to be computer techs. They're supposed to know what the hell they're doing. And I told him, I said, look, I just want this Linux taken off the computer, and I want Windows 7 or Windows 8 reinstalled, because the computer came originally programmed with Windows 8. And I wanted Windows 8. Now, it's, you know, and so I told him, I said, I just want it, you know, Windows 8 reinstalled, and he said, okay, come back in about 3 hours. I come back, and it ran great for like a week. Now, all of a sudden, the past, I don't know, it's been 5 or 6 months now, it's been slower than snot, slower than frozen snot on a doorknob, and now the trying to queue up a clip here to play, and it's just ridiculous. I don't get it. Trying to get this thing to do something here. Now it's going to go ahead and mute that so it will stop and let it run that damn commercial. So I can pause it and hopefully everything will run now. All right, let's close that window out. Damn slow ass thing. Anyway, welcome everyone. I'm Art Underground. This is American Renegade. It is April 18th, 2020. And I guess we're going to have a slow one this evening since the computer wants to act all kinds of stupid. I want to start out, you know, first thing on the list, tyranny in America. It's here, folks. And, you know, so far over the past few weeks, we've talked about Shelley Luther, the owner of Salon a la Mode down there in Dallas, Texas, how she was arrested, sentenced to 7 days in jail, I think it was like a $1,700 fine or something like that, all because she defied a judge's court order to close down. And she had the nerve, how dare her, to stand in his courtroom and tell him, you know, if you think you're so-called, well, I'm going to use the words dictatorial edicts, are more important than me feeding my family and my employees feeding their families, then you go ahead and you do whatever you've got to do. You know, I that made me feel so proud to know that there's, you know, someone was stepping up, you know. And then there was the 77-year-old barber, Mr. what's his last name, Mank or something like that, 77-year-old barber up there in Owosso, Michigan, who basically told Governor Whitmer, go stuff it. And then she's, well, I'll just take your business license away. That didn't stop him. He still opens up. He's still doing haircuts, only now he's got the Michigan militia defending him, which I thought was just beautiful. Los Angeles mayor talking about commandeering hotels that refuse to house homeless. I'm sorry, but, you know, the Ritz-Carlton is not a place, you know, at $800 a night. That's not where you want to be housing homeless people. When you have 100 actual people, you know, that actually live in the condos of the Ritz-Carlton there in L.A. And then there was, you know, Trump with his emergency powers, you know, claiming that he has the right to do a lot of things that people don't even know about. Well, yeah, you got a lot of authority there, mister, but you ain't king. And, you know, don't even try acting like one, because I ain't nobody's serf. And you want to try to play that king crap? good luck with that one. You know, so, you know, but he, you know, he's trying to use the presidential emergency actions, you know, like these defense production acts, to force meat processing plants to stay open. Well, you know, if they don't have the equipment, it's kind of hard for them to stay open. And you want them to run extended hours without shutdowns and cleanings? You know, I worked at a meat processing plant here in Elberton, Georgia, which is about an hour north of me. I used to work at ConAgra, which was bought out by Pilgrim Pride back many years ago. But at that time, ConAgra was like one of the largest meat processing companies in the world. And, you know, I know what's involved when working one of these kind of places. And you have to shut down, you know, they didn't shut the whole plant down, but they would shut down parts of the plant at a time. They'd shut this part down, and then they'd do a deep clean, open it up, shut down the next part, deep clean, open it back up. And that was long before. I mean, we're talking like 15 years ago, okay? So that was long before we had any of this coronavirus crap that we had to deal with. And, you know, he's trying to use these presidential directives to force plants to just run continuously, and you can't do that. You start doing that, well, you're going to have an E. coli issue. And, you know, I think we've already had enough problems in this country with food recalls because of E. coli and salmonella. I mean, y'all remember when Subway, they had to do recalls. They had to, you know, they actually had to stop serving spinach, fresh spinach on their sandwiches because of there was salmonella problems going on. Or E. coli, or whatever it was. It was one of the two. It's always either salmonella or E. coli. It's crazy, you know. So you know, you just can't. You know, there is a limit to your power, Mr. Trump. And your authority is not total as you try to claim it was. Remember that press conference where he says the president's authority is total? Again, you ain't king, buddy boy. So, you know, and then, you know, the U.S. Senate here recently, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but the U.S. Senate actually stopped attempts. They blocked attempts to stop the FBI from accessing your browsing history without a warrant. You know, because supposedly, you know, I always understood, you know, the Fourth Amendment there, the right to be safe and secure in one's person's papers and effects from unlawful search and seizure, absent that of, you know, without a warrant signed by a judge and issued upon a sworn affidavit by someone who says you actually committed a crime, you know. But no, they want you to believe the FBI doesn't have to do that. I'm sorry, yes, you do. I mean, I remember back many, many years ago, I think it was probably about, about 2010, 2011, something like that. My mom had gotten caught up in something. She wasn't trying to commit a crime. She was just trying to help somebody. But we had FBI come knocking on the door with a warrant. We need to look at your computers and this, that, and the other. I don't even live in the same house as my mother. I live on the same property, but I had my own separate house. Well, why are you come knocking on my door wanting to look at my computer? This is an issue you have with my mother. You don't come to my door and want to see my computers? Just who the hell do you think you are? You obviously don't know me. You don't know who I am, obviously. You know, because you ain't playing this bullshit with me. It ain't flying over here, pal. But now, since you seem to want to play this this tough guy, badass law enforcement official, let me tell you what's going to happen here. And I stood for defense of my mother and made sure that the warrant was executed properly. Because I don't play that game. I don't care who you are. You're not going to play that game with me. So I made sure they executed the warrant correctly. And I told them right from the bat, before you step into any house, I want to see that warrant. And I inspected it to make sure it was right. I said, okay, now here's what you're going to do. And I made sure they followed that warrant exactly. Because I wasn't going to play this game with them. Now, it took, you know, they did launch an investigation where my mother cooperated. Because I told her, I said, Mama, your best bet now is you cooperate, because if you don't, you know, you're going to be in a whole lot of, you're going to be in a world of hurt. I know you didn't try to do anything wrong, but this guy played you and you fell for his game. Now I'm going to help you get out of this mess. And I did. I helped her get out of it. And when it was all said and done, I told him, don't come back here no more, because there ain't none here for you. And I made sure Mama didn't ever make that mistake again. But they just recently had a bill introduced by Democrat Senator Ron Wyden and Republican Steve Daines, and the measure was an amendment to a bill reauthorizing certain lapse intelligent programs. And while that bill does introduce certain new privacy protections, including a restriction on how cell phone data may be used, many civil libertarians, both inside and outside Congress, are concerned that it doesn't do enough to keep Americans safe from excessive surveillance, especially their online lives. But this bill was blocked. It was shot down by the Senate. And if it had passed, it would have basically reined in the authority of the FBI and would have forced them to have to get a warrant before they could look at your browsing data. Okay, so continuing with the tyranny here in America, we have Governor Inslee. Now, remember I told you last night on the Spreaker broadcast, I told you about how Governor Inslee of Washington was going to bring the National Guard, the Department of Motor Vehicles, and the Department of Public Health in to create one team, basically an army of about 1,400 people who would be trained as contact tracers, meaning if you were tested positive for coronavirus, you would have to give them all of the information of everybody that you had had contact with, phone numbers, all of that, addresses, so they could then go door to door knocking on your door, you know, coming to, well, we understand you've been in contact with so-and-so, and well, they just tested positive, so now we're here to stick this Q-tip up your nose and take a sample. And, well, because of a little blowback, Governor Inslee has kind of backtracked on that. Well, no, he's continuing with that one. But what he did was he actually tried to, along with this, he tried to require restaurants, and you're going to love this, tried to require restaurants to collect customer contact information, meaning they wanted, they wanted names, addresses, phone numbers. And this was an article that came out on the Associated Press. But they wanted names, addresses, phone numbers, all of this. They wanted the restaurant to collect this. Now, can you imagine going into a restaurant? And before you can order, I don't know if it's a manager or a busboy or the waiter or waitress. What are they? They're going to come up with a pad of paper. And the first thing, before you get the order, can I have everybody's name, address, and phone number? I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of people going out to eat. Well, because of the blowback on this, Governor Inslee's kind of like backtracked and said, okay, we're not going to do that. But he's apparently still going to do the contact tracers. Now, continuing with this, stumbled on today a article from CNN Wire of a salon owner in Oregon. This would be, and oddly enough, her name is Lindsey Graham. She runs Glamour Salon in Salem, Oregon. Her and her husband own, I believe, 6 businesses. And she reopened in defiance of the governor's, Governor Kate Brown's executive order that requires businesses such as salons to remain closed. And hopefully this clip will work. Let's see if it's going to go here. Oh, see this slow ass computer. I mean, you're not coming over my life feed. Well, this just sucks. I don't understand why it's not. Okay, let's do this. We'll just open it up on this other computer here. Mute that so that we can boot it up on this other, on the my fast computer. And it's weird because my fast computer won't run the software to do the broadcast. It just kind of sucks. And now it doesn't seem like it wants to load up the audio. And I hate when this happens because it just throws a monkey wrench in everything. Well, let's try this other one because I got another clip here that's also very odd. Okay, let's see if we can get this one. All right, here we go. And, oh, it's going to run a commercial first. So let me mute that while it runs the commercial. But she's, she's like flat out defying the governor. She's like, no, we're not going to play this. Here it is.
Governor's coronavirus orders by reopening for business. That owner says despite Oregon's stay-at-home order, she desperately needs to pay her bills and provide for her family. Our Audrey Wheel joins us now live in Salem with why, amid this shutdown, the salon still plans to get back to work. Audrey?
Right, Bonnie. Lindsey Graham is the owner of Glamour Salon here in downtown Salem. She plans to reopen on Tuesday with a few stylists offering some services by appointment only. She says she understands the legal consequences that could come with this and that she's ready to face them. She says she really just has to do this for the sake of her family.
I'm risking going to jail to do it. That's how important it is to my family.
Strong words from salon owner Lindsey Graham, but she says that's what it's come to. Her chairs have sat empty for more than a month since Governor Kate Brown's stay home, save lives order.
At this point, I'm deciding that it's more important for me to feed my family and pay the bills that are going to keep our home and our family alive than to take the risk remain being shut down for an undisclosed amount of time.
She says this is one of six businesses she and her husband own. All of them were forced to close. She says they still have to pay tens of thousands of dollars in rent on them and have received very little government assistance.
The longer we sit by and don't work and don't have an income, the worse our financial position becomes. And I can't see it getting any worse without us having to consider losing some of our businesses, incurring more costs, or filing bankruptcy.
The governor's order explicitly prohibits the operation of businesses in which close personal contact is difficult or impossible to avoid, including barbershops and hair salons. When the governor signed the order, she said businesses that don't comply would be shut down, and those in defiance could face a Class C misdemeanor, spend up to 30 days in jail, face a $1,250 fine, or both. Graham says those possibilities are terrifying, but she's willing to face them.
It has to be worth it. I mean, I'm doing it. I'm doing it despite being threatened with losing my entire livelihood. I've been a hairstylist for 15 years. I've provided for my family exclusively as a hairstylist for 15 years, and now it's illegal to do hair. It's illegal to make money, and yet that's how desperate I am. I have to.
Graham says she's hiring a lawyer. She also says she'll be deep cleaning the salon tomorrow and that staff will wear masks and gloves. And just about an hour ago, I spoke on the phone with the owner of a nail salon called Nails by Luana, also here in Salem. She says she actually reopened her salon last week. She's just working by herself and taking appointments only, but she said she had to get back to work to make money, and she felt like it was her constitutional right. Live in Salem, Audrey Wheel, Fox 12 Oregon.
So she's talking about, it's, you know, she just flat out, she's not going to, you know, it's kind of like when Governor Kemp here of Georgia, Brian Kemp, gave his put in place a statewide stay home order. I'm standing in town at the very moment that it came over the news, because there's a gas station in town called Fast Times, and they actually have a TV in there that has, it's on news all day long. And, you know, I'm standing in there, I'm getting gas. I believe I was getting gas, because that's really the only time I ever stop there, is when I need gas for my truck or like for my lawnmowers and stuff, chainsaw and whatever. But I was in there paying for my gas, and the notice came over the TV that Georgia had just been, you know, Governor Kemp had just issued a stay home order. And there was a local cop was in there, a bunch of other people. I was like, my first words out of my mouth was, Governor Kemp kissed my ass. You know, somebody's like, well, what's that supposed to mean? I said, I'm not staying home. I do not care. I will not be made a prisoner in my own damn home. Governor Kemp can kiss my ass. And somebody said, well, you go to jail. I looked at the cop and I said, they might try. I ain't been to jail yet. Anyway, I flat don't care. So I love it when these people are standing up and saying, screw you. We're not going that route. And, you know, you can lay down whatever edicts you want, but, I don't care. But now, continuing along the same line, and it's great because we're seeing this all across the country now. In fact, in Belmar, New Jersey, Attila's Gym, the owner of Attila's Gym says, I ain't staying closed. I'm trying to boot up that page because I've got two clips, and I want to try to cue it up. I'm going to have to play it. I figured out what it is when I'm doing the Blog Talk Radio. Spreaker Studio doesn't play the clips that I'm playing on the computer. It won't play over Skype. So the Spreaker Studio obviously only works when I'm on Spreaker. So I have to use my fast computer to queue up those clips. But I've got one of them in the queue in my control board here for BTR. So I'll play that one and the one here on the computer. And this is, let me see, Anthony Dell, who's one of the gym's members. He was all lined up to be one of the first ones to go inside. And the gym's owner, co-owner Frank Trumbetti, I got a clip of him talking about, and this is going to be a, on Twitter, it's a Twitter clip, here's the first clip, and this is an article came out, philadelphia.cbslocal.com, and this is the first clip about the gym.
Alicia Reed is live in Belmar with more. Alicia.
About the gym.
Jazz protesters were here for hours until police finally gave them a warning to disperse. And all the owners here were hit with a citation, they remain open at this hour. Owners at Attila's Gym knew they were starting a fight when they decided to reopen against Governor Phil Murphy's order. Right now, they're not concerned about their disorderly conduct citation.
I don't care how much it is.
Yeah, that's not.
They're doing their job because it's going to get thrown out because it's against the Constitution, so I'm not worried about it.
They believe opening is their legal right, so much so that their new lawyer sent a letter to Governor Murphy calling the lockdown and shelter in place draconian and unconstitutional, and that they're non-essential stores that have already reopened.
That's the thing that's most unconstitutional about this, is the lack of equal protection of the law.
Members waited in line to go in, saying social distancing protocols are in effect.
Everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody's wiping everything down.
Governor Phil Murphy.
If you show up at that gym again tomorrow, there's going to be a different reality than showing today. I mean, that's just we can't just these aren't just words. We've got to enforce this. But I also don't want to start World War III. And I'm not worried about that right now, to be honest with you, because people have overwhelmingly done the right thing.
Open the church now!
Protesters were issued a warning to disperse. They then drove upwards of 60 miles to support the owners of Newell Gym in Hillsborough Township.
Well, I don't even know the anyway the gym. I'm going to go there. And I can't even work out because I got a bad back.
Owners here say they're actually not making any money right now. Members, their automatic payments are being frozen until the state legally reopens. In the meantime, they say they're making a statement. And even if that means they'll continue to get citations or even jail time, they will continue to open. Reporting live from Belmar, Alicia Reed, CBS 3 Eyewitness News.
So now this is in New Jersey. We have this popping up everywhere, where people are saying, screw you, screw your stay-at-home orders. And this governor, well, I'm not trying to start World War III. It's not going to be World War III. It's going to be the second American Revolution if you people keep this up, because we, the people, are getting fed up with your crap. And I want to give a shout-out to the chat room, Daily News, Hamestrap, and Hank Jones. Thanks for tuning in. So you know, we might not have time to get to anything else because we're spending so much time on this. But that's okay, because this is something we need to be focusing on what's happening here. We are seeing people standing up all across the country, Texas, Michigan, Wisconsin, Oregon, California, Washington State, New Jersey, North Carolina, Kentucky. All across the country, people are coming out, and how dare you not wear a mask? You're endangering everyone's lives. No, the only people that are being put in danger of being infected, people that are attending the protests and the rallies. But here's the thing. They know the risk that they're taking. They are willing to risk getting sick. They understand that they assume the responsibility for whatever happens to them. If I go to a rally and I'm not wearing a mask and I come down sick, I accept the responsibility because I put myself out there. This is simple. It's a simple concept. We are adults. We are fed up with you treating us like a bunch of ignorant, imbecilic children. We are grown-ass adults, and we can decide for ourselves what risks we are willing to take. And the people that are staying home, we're not putting them at risk. So what the hell are you concerned about? Here's another clip.
Right now at noon, demonstrators support the reopening of a South Jersey gym in defiance of the state's shutdown order. Many who were there did not wear masks and ignored social distancing guidelines. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jim Donovan. Welcome to CBS 3 Eyewitness News at noon, now streaming live on CBSN Philly. You were looking at the Atlas Gym on Browning Road. This is in Belmar, New Jersey. The doors there open this morning at 8 a.m. in defiance of the Governor Murphy's stay-at-home order. And the governor has said the move won't be tolerated. Our Trang Do has the story.
Atlas Gym in Belmar opened up at 8 a.m. to cheers and a huge crowd. After 2 months closed, the gym reopened in defiance of Governor Murphy's stay-at-home order. Anthony Deal was one of many gym members who lined up to be the first to go inside.
Anybody that's paying their bills and taking care of their family is essential business, so I'm just out here to support his right to, you know, operate.
The gym's co-owners have instituted a number of safety measures to show that they are taking health and hygiene very seriously. The gym will only be open to existing members and will operate at 20% capacity. Temperatures will be taken at the door, and anyone at 100.4 or above will not be allowed in. People must also wear masks unless they are in the middle of lifting weights.
I don't have a problem with it at all. I think it's going to the gym is good for your health. It's good for your mind. It's good for your body.
In a pair of videos posted to Facebook, the gym's co-owners explained their decision to defy the governor's order, saying the forced closure implemented to curb the spread of the virus violates their constitutional rights.
If big box retailers, grocery, and liquor stores can operate with proper health protocol in place, so can every single business in America.
Open New Jersey now!
The reopening also attracted dozens of people who are not members of the gym, many not wearing masks or practicing social distancing and waving flags supporting President Trump. Wanda Tranquillo is a nurse who is calling on New Jersey to reopen for business.
All jobs are essential, not just mine because I'm a healthcare worker, not the police officers, every job, your nail salons, your hair salons, your gym owners, every job is essential. Everybody should be allowed to work.
During a news conference last week, Governor Phil Murphy said he is aware of the gym and that, quote, they're out of compliance and that's not going to be tolerated. Although the owners of the gym encouraged this massive show of support on their reopening day, they also posted a notice from the Camden County Prosecutor's Office on the gym window saying that anyone who patronizes a business that is in defiance of an executive order could face criminal charges that include a fine of up to $1,000 or up to 6 months in jail. From Belmar, New Jersey, I'm Trang Do, CBS 3 Eyewitness News.
Well, just a few minutes ago, we received a statement from the legal counsel representing the Atlas Gym. That statement says in part that the gym intends to file an action to challenge the constitutionality of Governor Murphy's orders.
There you go. Hank Jones in chat room says, we can't expect business owners to fund unemployment and Social Security and Medicare for its employees, but tell them they can't be open. We can't mandate that people not be fired or laid off with COVID, then expect businesses to stay closed. What a stupid effing disconnect. Close businesses, but mandate them paying employees or getting PPP loans in order to pay them, then employees bitch because double dipping on state and federal unemployment is easier than working. Gee, who'd have thought that might happen? You're absolutely right. I see Green Beasley just popped in the chat room. Welcome. You're absolutely right. And here's the thing. You know, these PPP loans, it's a freaking loan, meaning the business has got to pay it back. So you want them to close down and then take a loan to pay their employees just so they can go deeper in debt. I mean, seriously? This is insane. This is absolutely insane. And, you know, I have talked to over 200 people in the past month and a half, and I've only talked to one out of all of these people, because of what I do, I have to talk to people to find out, to get their views, their thoughts, their opinions, ask them questions so I can tell you what's happening in my area. And I cover Richmond County, Columbia County, McDuffie County, Elbert County, Lincoln County, Wilkes County. Every once in a while, I might get over to Union County or Greene County. And on a very rare occasion, I might get to Talipara County. But I cover a lot of counties around here. And I talk to a lot of people. And out of the 200 or so people I've talked to in the past month and a half, only one of them has got their $1,200 check. And she works at a bank, and she's been working every damn day since this whole thing started. Now, she's not been put out of work because, obviously, banks, yeah, we ought to have a conversation about the banking system. But because banks are essential, so she gets to work, and she gets her $1,200 check. I've not got my $1,200 yet. I don't know anybody else. I've not talked to anybody else that's got their $1,200 check, but yet now they want to try to push through another $3 trillion to go, I think it's like either $1,000 to $1,200 per month for the next 6 months, per month. This is insane. I'm going to drop in the chat room there. There's a link to a, if you want to hear the owner's comment, it's like an 8-minute clip. Go to that link, scroll down, and you'll see a guy with a big, thick, burly beard. That's one of the owners. Click on that, and it's an 8-minute where he gives his, you know, basically his view and where he stands on this issue. But this is ridiculous. I don't know, you know, what it's going to take for these governors to realize, you know, and you know, Bill de Blasio, this is another one. He's talking about if you go in the water, I guess apparently they got beaches up there somewhere, but if you try to get in the water and go swimming, we'll arrest you. What the hell? Are you serious? That's like, who was that? I don't even remember where this was. One governor said, boats are allowed, no more than two people on the boat, and you have to come from the same household. You have to be family. But no boats with motors. Boats with oars are okay, but no boats with motors. What the hell does a motor have to do with the risk of spreading the coronavirus? This is stupid. You're going to tell me, Dallas, Texas, Shelley Luther, owner of Salon a la Mode, a hair or beauty salon, they're not essential. They cannot open up, but just a few doors down, a pet grooming store, now they can open up. What the hell? Are you serious? People, I'm telling you what. Telling you what. And then this talk about immunity passports. I mean, seriously, we've got World Health Organization doctors and CDC officials talking about maybe we need an immunity ID card. And talking about, you know, and Governor Inslee, remember, he's 1,400 or so contact tracers will be trained. And if you refuse to be tested, you won't get the go-ahead to leave your house. Legal action will be taken against you. In Tennessee, forced quarantine. If you are homeless and you test positive, they have a facility set aside for you. Oh, yeah. Forced quarantine. Can't let the guy go and just live in his tent. Jesus, Jiminy frickin' crickets. All right. let's talk about ghost guns while we still got a little bit of time left. Democrats now, they're with you. Okay, this came out of Politico. Senate Democrats push for regulation of ghost guns. With U.S. gun sales soaring during the coronavirus pandemic, a group of 15 Senate Democrats are introducing legislation calling for new restrictions on untraceable ghost guns. These are guns that are made using 3D printing machines, sometimes referred to as 80% guns. Now, this is because they haven't reached the level of manufacturing that meets the legal definition of a firearm. They have no serial numbers, can't be tracked, can't be traced, and there's no requirement to obtain a federal background check for people who buy the kit and build these weapons. So, led by Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, and I noticed in the chat room, somebody said that Connecticut was supposed to allow their salons, I guess, to open up, but the governor changed it to, yeah, here it is. Haircutting places were supposed to open on Wednesday in Connecticut, but just today, lying Governor Lamont changed it to June. So here's another one. You know, Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut, and Chuck Schumer of New York, and 13 others want to require that all guns sold in the United States after January 1st, 2022, can be traced by the BATFE, and gun kit manufacturers, distributors, sellers, and buyers would come under fire, would come under the same federal regulations that govern the purchase or sale of complete firearms, including a requirement for serial numbers on all weapons and background checks for buyers of these kits. Green Beasley says Tennessee should be applauded for their efforts in housing the homeless. Finally, this isn't housing the homeless, dude. I used to be homeless. I was homeless for 33 years. And I spent a lot of time in Knoxville, Tennessee. That's Knox County. That's where this homeless guy was locked up in a freaking camp. He was arrested. They have shelters in Knoxville, Tennessee. And they have the facilities to house homeless in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was homeless in Knoxville for 5 freaking years. I know what's there. In fact, my first wife and I, our daughter was born at St. Mary's Hospital, which is only about 5 blocks from one of these shelters. There was no need to arrest this guy. There was no reason to throw him in to something that basically, essentially, is the equivalent, the medical equivalent of a concentration camp. They have housing for the homeless in Tennessee. So there was no excuse for what they did to this guy. So, you know, now we got this new regulation that they're trying to push for these 3D kit guns. It's just nuts. Okay, proxy voting. This was something I said I would get to tonight. The U.S. House votes to allow proxy voting. This was on Reuters just a few days ago. I never can figure out how to pronounce that. The U.S. House of Representatives on Friday approved a historic change to its rules, allowing lawmakers to vote by proxy from remote locations. Oh, hell, there goes my computer shutting down on me. Anyway, apparently it wants to do the updates. Damn. I actually, it popped up earlier saying, do you want to restart or whatever? And I said, no. So apparently it's going to force me to do it. Anyway, because I try to update when I shut down at night, and for some reason it's wanting to force the update on me prematurely. I don't know why. But anyway, I guess we'll just kind of freestyle at this point. That's okay. We only got about 10 more minutes. But so anyway, what is proxy voting? For those of you who don't know what proxy voting is, it's generally something that takes place in the corporate world. And what this is say you have 3 or 4 board members. They're going to be out of the country on, you know, doing overseas, taking a trip to overseas to do business, like say in London. Say they have an appointment in London for some kind of board meeting or whatever, and they go over there. But there's also going to be a board meeting in, say, in New York. All right. And so what they'll do is these board members that are not going to be able to make the board meeting in New York because they're going to be at another place in London, for example, doing meetings there, maybe signing contracts or whatever, they can tell someone else on the board, here's how I want you to represent me. And so, like, say I'm one of the board members and I'm going to be there at the meeting in New York. They'll tell me, here's how I want you to speak for me on my behalf, and here's what I want you to say on my vote. So when I go in, I would give my vote on the issue, but at the same time, I would announce, in proxy for so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da, and I would lay it out. That's what proxy voting is. Well, that's what they want to do in the House now. Now we're back up. It's blow. Boy, that was quick. That was probably the fastest update I've seen yet. So that's what they want to do now in the House. They want to allow this proxy voting where, you know, senators can, or where House representatives can tell, like, Nancy Pelosi, for example, all right, or Representative Clyburn, for example, here's what I want you to do when you go in on this vote. I want you to vote this way for me. And so when Nancy Pelosi goes in, she'll say, when they call a roll, because they'll have to call a roll in this case, when they call, like, for, you know, Representative Clyburn, she'll say, Clyburn votes whatever, yay or nay. And so that's what they're wanting to, that's what they're trying to do. Now, how it's going to, this passed by a vote, mostly a partisan vote, 217 to 189. So now it's going to go. So this allows Nancy Pelosi to trigger the remote voting procedures for the first time in Congress history. So now what this does, because they've approved the proxy vote, this opens the door for them to be able to do electronic voting via remote access, i.e. internet protocol. Yeah. Anyone else see a problem here? Anyone else see where this could be, like, dangerous? Because Nancy Pelosi is in the article. That's why Green Beasley wants to know, why'd I use Nancy Pelosi in the example? Because Nancy Pelosi is actually quoted, or actually she specifically mentioned in the article. That's why I used her name. If they'd have used someone else's name, I would have used their name in my example. But because they referenced Nancy Pelosi, I used her as the example. This kind of makes me wonder if the Senate, which is, of course, controlled by Republicans, if, you know, will they do this as well? This opens the door up for everybody to just be able to stay at home and nobody has to go to D.C. anymore. Now they can just stay home and work from their living room. How freaking convenient is this? And here's the thing. A lot of states now are pushing for mail-in ballot only. Yeah, they don't want to open up the polls because they're afraid people are going to get sick. So they want to all mail-in votes. Oh, no way, no room for corruption there. No way they can rig the ballots there. And here's the thing. Once they get that started, if they get the mail-in vote, if they just get that ball rolling, that's going to become the new standard. And then there is no accountability at that point because, well, apparently the post office must not have delivered the ballots in time. I mean, take for here in Georgia, for example, we have one of the most pro get out the vote programs here in Georgia of any state, where they actually have groups of people, agencies that literally, if you don't have a way to get to the polls or you don't have a way to get down to the courthouse to register to vote, they will come pick you up, take you down, get you registered, and then on polling day, they will send buses around to pick people up, take them to the polling station so they can vote, and then take them back home. But we got Stacey Abrams talking about there was voter suppression. What, you don't think mail-in voting, mail-in ballots won't result in voter suppression? Seriously? And they'll blame it on the incompetency of the Postal Service because they didn't get the ballots delivered in time. That eliminates the need for voter registration, voter ID, and, oh, yeah, the illegals get to vote. Yay! Isn't diversity a wonderful freaking thing? Just freaking insane. Okay, I'm going to bounce out of the chat for a second. Well, actually, no, I'm not because I have... No, the chat room is not open on the other computer, so I'm bouncing out. Okay, SARS-2 vaccine, where is that? Wow, what happened to it? Oh, I lost an article. I guess I'll have to go looking for it. Since I can't find that article, I'll have to go looking for it later, figure out what I did with it. But I'll fill in the time real quickly. They say now you can catch coronavirus through your eyes. And there's one virologist by the name of Joseph Fair. He's a virologist and an NBC contributor, said that he believes that that's how he was infected, through his eyes. Okay, so now that a lot, they want you to wear a mask when you go out of the house, are they going to, like, require that we wear, like, sealed goggles now? I mean, just... It's just nuts, man. I don't get it. Oh, Lord have mercy. This is just insane. Here it is. There is, I'll have to get to this tomorrow then. Moderna, which is a facility... they have biotech plans to start. They've already got some basic human trials that are showing positive results with a vaccine, and so they're about to start additional trials in the hopes that they will have this vaccine ready by the fall of this year. Well, that's a lot shorter than that original 18 months that they were saying. Who knows? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. In the meantime, since we're out of time here, Spreaker.com, 7 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. Spreaker.com, the channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. Me for 3 hours. When you get to the Ideas Are Bulletproof channel, go to podcasts, click on the green t-shirt, says I find your lack of ammo disturbing, and you're off and running. Tuesday, Suzette from Suzette Live Talk, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. Wednesday night instrumentals with Art, 7 p.m. for 3 hours, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. On Thursday, RZ's Tunes, where RZ plays a selection of music of his favorite style. On Friday, Smokey, spend a night with Smokey as he plays some tunes for you. And then on Saturday, RZ's Free Speech Zone, Free Speech Zone. There you go. RZ's Free Speech Zone, and you never know where he's going to go, but always an interesting conversation for sure. So again, that's Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof. Wide selection of broadcasts, and of course, all the archives you could ever want in one place, covering a range of topics. In the meantime, I'm just having a real tough time here tonight. Take care of yourselves, care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. I'm Art Underground for American Renegade. Be safe out there. Robert, Green, Beasley, Hamestrap, thanks for joining me this evening. Y'all have a great one.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.